On today's Next Fan Up podcast, the NFL preseason kicks off and the superfans are in preseason form.
No, now that we know that Keanu Neal's not going to play, I just couldn't care less about this game. Up until that point, you have me riveted, though.
No, I mean, really, we are in preseason form.
Sorry, Greg, I wasn't listening to you. What do you think?
All right. Perhaps I can bring this all back with some production values.
1454, pretend that the sound effect played.
I think you should replace the sound effect with that.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Let's get this show started.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this preseason edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader here with the Superfans. It's an exciting time because unless somebody used the wrong paint on all 16 fields this weekend, we are going to have some actual football to finally talk about. And we'll get into the Hall of Fame game debacle here in just a moment. Let me introduce you to the super fans that are joining me here today. First, I'll introduce you to the guy who you'll probably hear the least of, but he'll want you to hear the most of him. That's Patrick, our Boston super fan. Hello, Patrick. How are you?
Hey, Pod. I don't know how I feel about that introduction, but you know, great. How are you?
There you go. One of our Thursday regulars is our Steelers superfan, Greg. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Patrick. I'm pretty excited Patrick's on today. I'm going to learn some more new vocab terms from our history. So this is going to be fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's throw those around on a podcast, see if we can get an explicit rating.
Let's try not to. And when we do want a vocab lesson, we all know from listening to last week's episode that all we need to do is ask our buddy over in Scotland, Neil, who's our Washington Redskins superfan. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Jay. Hello, guys. I'm also delighted that Patrick's on today because we just can't get enough Patriots fans on this podcast.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand anything you just said. Could you say it again in English?
I said I'm knackered.
and it's been a while, but he does exist. It's our Saint superfan, Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going? Really excited to get out of the kiddies table on Sunday, come play with the adults today. It's going to be a good time.
I don't know who told you we were adults, but I think you may have gotten a little wrong information. Hey, we are in preseason form, so we do have quite a few of our preseason previews on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/NFU podcast, or of course, if you're on Facebook, you just type in Next Fan Up in the search bar and our page shows up. We have most of them. We're missing five, but we're on those super fans, and we are efforting to get those previews up there for you before those games begin. But then again, if you're listening to this podcast, we're going to give you a full preview of week one of the preseason right now. So you don't necessarily need to go to our Facebook page, but we invite you to because it'll be much more in depth and it will be your team specific. We are also on Twitter at NFU Podcast. You can reach us there. And of course, you can send us emails nextfanup@gmail.com. We didn't get any new emails since our buddy Justin and his buddy emailed us about kickers. Maybe I shouldn't have been so harsh about not talking about kickers. Maybe we've gotten some more emails. But let's kick things off. And lo and behold, one of our Thursday regulars will start us off with the Washington Redskins at the Atlanta Falcons. Neil, obviously, during the preseason, we don't care so much about who's actually going to win this game. But what we do care about is what is it that you're going to be watching in this game?
Thanks, Jay. Well, one of the things that I'm sure every super fan and every fan will be watching this weekend is through one eye, you know, hoping that none of their players get injured. That's the big thing in preseason. Don't get injured. We've lost enough players already. In terms of the Washington visiting Atlanta, it's going to be a game where, well, Washington doesn't have a lot of camp battles. I think some of the beat writers have been saying this is actually quite a boring camp. We don't have RG3 spouting off and leaving great messages all over the place, and And we also don't really have a lot of battles where you'd say, yeah, we just don't know who's going to win that one. That's mainly down to the fact that we have a pretty steady roster from last year. Most of the guys that we really wanted to return have returned. And we made very few additions in the off-season. We were quite limited in free agency, even though we made a big splash at the end with Josh Norman. So you look around the roster and we lost Junior Gallette, of course, which we spoke about, I think, last week on the pod. And Trent Murphy, who was an outside linebacker, he's been spending the off-season trying to get back up to about 285, 290, if he can, even to play defensive ends. But that idea has been canned, and he's trudging back to outside linebacker, no doubt with his tail between his legs, because he's not going to be starting in that position. He probably would have been a starter at the defensive end position if he'd had a good camp. So he's shifting back. It'll be interesting to see if he's managing to get rid of some of that bulk and see if he's got his quickness back to play outside linebacker. He won't start there. Preston Smith will start there in place of Gillette. But Murphy, interesting to see him go back. Inside linebacker, Mason Foster, who started a number of games for us last season with Perry Riley's injury. He's ahead of Riley at the moment in the battle for one of the inside linebacker positions. A bit of an undersized guy, Foster, but he plays that mole linebacker position really well and is quite good, quite fast, so he can cover tight ends and running backs. But as we know, Riley is wily, so he may well win that position back again through the course of camp. But that's one of the little battles. It'll be interesting to see Martrell Spate play, another inside linebacker who lost his entire rookie season in 2015 to injury. And he's had a very strong camp. But you know what it's like. Everybody's got a strong camp. They're having a great camp. They're not dropping a pass and all the rest of it. But we'll see what it's like when other players start hitting them with a bit of gusto. That'll be a bit, looking forward to seeing him play. The other battle, which I think, well, it's probably the biggest battle in camp, is probably the nickel corner, where our very deep cornerback class, there's a battle there between Kendall Fuller, our third-round rookie this year, and Deshaun Phillips, second-year player, and they're battling out for that role. I think at the end of the day, both of them will make the team, and we're going to have half a dozen really good corners this year, which something we haven't had in Washington since Darryl Green back in the day. Everybody, of course, wants to see Josh Norman. We all want to see him play, see what he looks like. He's looked good in camp. He's had an ongoing battle with Deshaun Jackson, a friendly ongoing battle, covering Deshaun Jackson, and it'll be good to see him on the field in a Washington uniform. Otherwise, I think center is still a big concern for the team. Corey Lichtensteiner, by default, more than anything, is leading the battle there, but I don't know. I think one of us guys could jump in there and probably play better at center. And finally, I think, like all the teams, we all want to see our rookies. We want to see our rookies get out there in the field, in our uniforms, get a first chance to see how they look, how they're settling in, and if all the hopes and aspirations we had for them in the draft are going to materialize on the field. In terms of the Atlanta Falcons, you're going to have to bear with me for a moment until I scroll down the page to find about the Atlanta Falcons.
I can tell you, Neil, that Tim has a few things that he's watching for. One, mainly his offensive line consistency. He also is interested in who the fourth and fifth wide receivers are going to be on this team. We all know Julio, Sanu, and Hardy are locks. Who's going to step up for those final positions? The defensive line, he's interested to see some of the changes that they've made on defense, including at the linebacker position, and who the third corner will be while Jalen Collins faces his suspension for the defensive backs. And he mentions that apparently there is going to be some sort of battle for the kicker position. You can see all of this on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/NFU podcast to read the preseason previews. I gave you an assist there, Neil. When I can, I will. So there you go.
Thanks, Steve.
And perhaps I should have asked you what you weren't watching for, because apparently you're going to be watching a lot during this game tonight.
We're not going to see a lot because, you know, the guys that I was speaking about, we're going to see them for, what, two or three series, maybe a quarter if we're lucky. I think we're going to see Nate Sudfield at quarterback. I don't think we're going to see Matt Ryan very much for the Falcons. Some of the Falcon players I'm looking forward to seeing, though, I would say Dwight Freeney, definitely. I want to see if he, you know, suits up and has a few plays. I do have a Falcons fan that happens to be in my office, and not quite sure how we got him, and they'll have to get him out of there because it's a bit distasteful, really. But he also was very keen on defensive backs. He's very interested to see Keanu Neal play, but I don't think Keanu Neal is going to play this game, so he might have to wait for him. He's their the first-round pick, bit of a surprising pick, I think, at strong safety. And he is not so keen on the offensive line. He likes Alex Mack, and he likes the tackles, but he's a bit worried about the guards. But his main concern, I think, is Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator. Is he going to do a better job for them this year?
ESPN.com says Keanu Neal unlikely to play this evening. Anybody have any questions here for Neal on this game?
No, now that we know that Keanu Neal's not going to play, I just couldn't care less about this game. Up until that point, you have you riveted, though.
Good to know. All right, next up, Greg, we have Tampa Bay at Philadelphia. What do we got in store for us tonight?
Well, since this is the fourth shame game, not only because of these teams are so bad, but because their super fans flaked on their responsibility.
Ooh,
so my hot takes are, I'm really interested in this Kenny Bell wide receiver. He's a slot receiver for Tampa Bay. I heard great things about him last year, and he got injured early in camp. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do this year. He might be the third wide receiver for them. And he's been compared to a younger Hines Ward, of course. So I'm pretty interested in him. And then for the Eagles side, I mean, how can you not be interested in seeing Carson Wentz, see if he looks more like a high school quarterback or a pro quarterback? And, of course, we get the watered-down Kansas City offense for this game. So this is a contrast from, like, Chip Kelly's era. So that's what I'll be watching pretty much.
How about you, Pat? Is there anything about Tampa Bay, Philadelphia that floats your boat?
Seeing as how I would have to either watch that or the Patriots game, I'm going to say no. I'm going to go ahead and watch the Patriots game.
That's what I thought you would say. Do we have any key injuries in this game? Does anybody know off the top of their head?
These teams are awful. They don't have any key injuries.
I mean, it's even money that Bradford gets injured right before the game anyway, whether or not he plays.
I guess the question I would have for Greg, for his in-depth study of this game, would be with Lane Johnson's impending suspension, which we think is coming up, will they play him? Will they waste snaps with him or not?
That's the suspense you're going to have to tune in for, I guess.
you kind of got to play the guy if you don't want your rookie first-round pick just getting massacred for his, like, only action of the year, probably, right?
Mm. Yeah.
For Tampa Bay, according to ESPN.com, still no word on whether banged-up wide receiver Vincent Jackson or running back Charles Sims will play. They most likely will err on the side of caution, especially since this is the first game. And you mentioned that suspension for Lane Johnson on the Eagles. That is going to be something to pay attention to because we have a lot of these suspensions coming up. And I know, Greg, we'll get to the Steelers, you know, a little bit later on, but your guy, Le'Veon Bell, is he still holding firm that he's playing game one?
Not only is he holding firm, but apparently he's convinced a few of the coaches and the executives of the team that he actually has a leg to stand on. So no predictions out of me, but he's fooled some smart people. I think that he has a good chance of getting off. So,
I guess we'll see. It's all par for the course with this commissioner, right, Patrick?
Well, I think as long as he doesn't sue the entire league over the suspension, he has an okay chance of getting it reduced. I think that's what Brady
does. He's not a Raider.
You know, Chris and Pat, since we have you both here, we might as well play the sound effect and everything. Let's do an old fashioned super fan battle here. All right, so we have the New Orleans Saints at the New England Patriots. If you haven't heard already, I was at Patriots training camp earlier this week with my son, and I got to see the two teams practice on the field together. I have a few insights that I'll be watching in tonight's game as well. But Patrick, why don't you let us know what you're watching for in tonight's game with the New England Patriots?
I mean, the obvious thing that everybody's going to be watching, myself included, is Garoppolo, right? For all the obvious reasons, like Brady's not going to be there, or at least short term, and you want to see who you're building around. Are you building around? Are you going to have a guy out there for four games that you want to build around for the future? Are you going to have a guy out there for four games that shows some confidence and becomes trade bait? Almost as importantly, how about our third string quarterback? We got, you know, a rookie third round pick from North Carolina or NC State. You know, can this dude, Jacoby Brissett, play some ball? And if so, does that make Jimmy Garoppolo exposable this year, like following the four game stretch when Brady comes back? You know, can you actually trade this guy midseason and pull in like a huge plethora of picks? I don't know, like that. There's a lot of legitimate questions around quarterback play, which kind of makes it like the only preseason game worth watching. You know, apart from that, you know, we have a very open competition at running back. You know, that might be interesting to watch. You know, do we just by default give the ball to LeGarrette Blount, or do we have some rookie or journeyman that you never heard of coming in and actually contributing, you know, meaningful touches in the preseason like we saw last year? You know, that again is wide open. You know, how about the offensive line? You know, we also have an additional rookie third round pick from NC State that's probably going to end up starting at left guard for us. I thought we were actually doing okay there last year with seems to have lost his job to yet another rookie. So we'll see how the interior O-line looks. Vollmer's banged up, so how do we look for depth at right tackle? How does our wide receiving core look? We brought in some legitimate, I think, weapons for the outside. And we got a couple of injuries to concern ourselves with. There's some, there's a lot of intrigue on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. You know, we're talking about nickel corner play, you know, backup strong safety. You know, actually what's interesting there is Ninkovich just got a tricep torn. You know, that's, in my personal opinion, not the most critical part of the body for a linebacker. You know, if the guy can wrap up, maybe he uses his tricep. Otherwise, you know, it's just there for the girls. You know, but the dude's still going to be out for like 6 weeks, and you know, we picked up Chris Long, you know, because, you know, can Chris Long come in and play that spot? So there's plenty to watch, you know, if you're a diehard Patriots fan.
Chris, what are you looking for in tonight with the Saints?
Well, I mean, it's, can we have an average defense? And that's really what any Saints fan is hoping for at this point, is can we just, like, a 16th to 20th ranked defense, can we pull that off? And that starts on all three levels. You know, we spent a lot of time and effort on our defensive line this year with Rankins and Fairley. It'll be interesting to see if they can create some kind of push in the middle. Defensive end still seems really weak now with losing Kakaha. So between Obum Gwasham, Davis Tall, I think Adebali tonight is going to get the starting nod. Can they just come up with somewhat of a pass rush opposite of Cam Jordan? And then you have the addition of James Laurinaitis, who is very pedestrian when it comes to physical skills at this point, but should be able to help getting the defensive line, which we really, really lacked last year. A lot of confusion, so hopefully we can get that shored up. And then last would be the secondary. You know, going into another year without Keenan Lewis, it's looking like his injury just continues to be nagging. So, well, one of the young guys of P.J. Williams or, I know, Crawley and Harris have been making a lot of plays in this camp. Can they step up and play opposite of Bro? that's going to be the big test. As far as offense goes, you know, I think I put it on our preview. Andreas Pete was just too fat to play football last year. Is that still the case? We really need him to help on this offensive line. I think he's starting at left tackle tonight, but we're hoping he can fill in for the right guard spot once Armstead comes back. And from there, you know, we have a, but no, we got a backup battle with McCown right now. And for the life of me, the kid's name is escaping me as our third-string quarterback. Are we going to be able to get anything out of that? When Breeze went down last year, you know, we really, really, the season felt lost. And hopefully he can stay healthy and we don't have to run through that problem again this year.
All right. Well, it's I will tell you that one of the things that I'm going to be watching for out of this camp is, well, from what I saw in camp, is are the Saints going to be utilizing that tight end position? Because during the practice session against the Patriots, Kobe Fleener was invisible. Now, I don't expect to see the starters out there for very long for the Saints, but I would be interested to see if they go to Kobe Fleener. I did mention during that preview show that Willie Snead, the slot receiver, certainly owned the Patriots defensive backs. It didn't matter who they put on him. He was open whenever he wanted to be. So that will be interesting. And the other interesting thing is the tall kid that you have there now on the outside to go along with Brandon Cooks. What's that receiver's name? Brandon Coleman on the other side. It is quite evident on the field how much taller he is than pretty much everyone else out on that field. It will be interesting to see if he can actually catch a ball. He did have some troubles with that during the practice session. Again, these are starters, so I don't expect to see a lot of them, but that will be some of the things I'd be watching on the Saints sideline. And on the Patriots sideline, it is really just a matter of watching depth. The starting offensive line, I'm guessing, is going to get a lot of work tonight because it's not going to be the starting offensive line come week one of the NFL season. At least I would hope not, because I don't expect to see Vollmer or Solder out on the field tonight. We also know that Brian Stork is perhaps recovering from a concussion. I saw there was one report that mentioned that he had a concussion, and we know concussions on offensive linemen are not a good thing. And they tend to get concussions again very easily. And this is Stork's like third or fourth. So I would be concerned about that in terms of depth on that offensive line. So watching the depth on the offensive line as they try to develop, I know Dante Scarnecchia, the greatest offensive line coach of all time, is back. So we'll have to wait and see. But
well, and his return might mean an extended look. Right, because like he might want to see the combination of guys that he thinks is the best fit and get a long look at that combination. So maybe we see less volatility in the lineup than we normally would for a first preseason game.
Yes, and I know there's been a lot of talk about this Joe Tooney guy playing the guard position. So he's someone that I'm going to have my eyes on. Otherwise, for me personally, with the Patriots, not really a whole heck of a lot to see as in terms of what I'm hoping to see for the regular season. All right,
you don't want to get a good look at Chris Hogan? Like, I want to see a lot of Chris Hogan.
You're not going to see a lot of Chris Hogan. He's still wearing a red non-contact jersey from a shoulder injury. So
Well, no, they say that's just pain tolerance, though, right? Like that shouldn't preclude him playing.
I don't think he's going to play.
I mean, we'll see. Like, I they're giving that dude a lot of cash. I want to see if he can play some football.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see him all that much tonight, especially since they had the scare with Julian Edelman. I totally don't expect to see Edelman out on the field. Anybody else that's even slightly, you know, banged up, I'm guessing they're going to try and keep on the sideline.
Well, right. Here's how it makes things interesting, right? Because we have a lot of receivers that you want to get looks at because there's so much depth there and they're not going to carry all these guys, right? So you want to get long looks at your middle core of your receivers but you also want to get the starters some action too, because you got to get the timing down right with Garoppolo, right? And this is your only opportunity to do that. So how do you balance that? Right. It's an interesting, like, strategic element of football planning that you don't normally see in preseason games.
Right. Okay. So,
if I can chime in really quick here. Sorry, I lost my feed. Garrett Grayson was the quarterback's name that I was thinking of. And as far as your comment with Fleener, it's been a really bad camp for him. He and Breeze have not been able to get on the same page. So that is crucial this preseason that they figure it out. And Brandon Coleman is huge, plays very soft, and is at risk of losing his spot on the roster to a receiver by the name of Tommy Lee Lewis, who the Saints weren't even considering as an undrafted free agent until Bill Parcells called Sean Payton and told him he believes he found the next David Patton. So that's going to be really interesting to see if that kid, if he's just all hype or if he can actually play against the defense tonight.
All right. We've talked way too much about these first three games. Let's try and go a little bit quicker as we move through the rest of these, the rest of the schedule here. And Neil, we're moving on now to the Carolina Panthers at the Baltimore Ravens. What do our super fans have to say about this one?
Just first, I know we've said enough about them already, Jay, but I'll just go back and say I fully expect Tom Brady to run onto the field on the opening series starting for the Patriots tonight.
And
so
I believe
that's not supposed to happen.
I believe it's already been reported that it won't happen. I hope not to see it happen. Because I am with Patrick there that I need to see as much of Garoppolo as possible to see if he's really going to be ready to hold this team together for 4 weeks. All right. What did our super fans have to say about Carolina and Baltimore?
Yeah, okay, quickly then. The Panthers are looking at their secondary. Obviously, they lost Josh Norman, so they drafted three young guys to come in. And there'll be a bedding down time there, I suppose, for all of them. And that'll be one of the key thing for the Panthers fans tonight to be watching. Secondly, they'll be looking to see where Vernon Butler, their first-round draft choice, fits in. He was really highly rated. I had him as my number one defensive tackle, apart from the guy that went to Chris's Saints. So we'll see where he fits in terms of teaming up with Short and star Lucarelli. So that will be another area to look for. And finally, I think just looking for the running back depth. You know, Stewart is great, but who comes after Stewart? Is it going to be Artis Payne, or is it going to be Whitaker, or who's going to be? Wager is the surprise player there, and our Panthers superfan thinks he might be the surprise guy in the group and come in there to back up Stewart. And finally, of course, I guess all Panthers fans will be looking for Kevin Benjamin's return. He is, was he missed last year? I'm not quite sure if he was, but if he was, then it is going to be an excellent addition to that wide receiver core for this year. So interesting to see him coming back from injury. In terms of the Ravens, I just don't like the Ravens. God, I think they're going to have a terrible season. We've got a new left tackle in Ronnie Stanley, and let's see how that goes when you've got a quarterback coming back from an ACL and maybe not quite as mobile. And even then, I don't think the quarterback was mobile in previous seasons. So we'll see how that goes with Stanley. He'll no doubt have to take his shots as a rookie, and it may start tonight. We'll see. They've also got a new starting left guard in John Urshel, and a bit of change there in the offensive line. So it'll be a question of do they have depth? Do they have starters? And they're hoping that rookie Alex Lewis comes in and looks as good as in live snaps as he has done in the preseason. Wide receiver, big injury problems here from last year. Steve Smith, of course, is coming back. I think he's 79 years old now, so still going strong. And we'll see what condition he comes back from after. I think it was an ACL he had as well, wasn't it? Can he still play? Can he still get separation? We'll see. And Breshad Perryman, I think, was a first-round pick last year. And he missed the entire season. I don't recall what his injury was, but these guys, will they even suit up in the preseason? We're not quite sure, but it'll be a chance for them to maybe get some snaps under the belt. And then, of course, the great Mike Wallace has joined the Ravens, and they'll be hoping that Joe Flacco can hook up with him on some deep passes, which is what Wallace's strength is. And maybe that's not going to leave Kamar Aiken looking for snaps, because I quite liked him last year. He seemed to step up when the needed players, you know, when you've got a whole series of injuries and you're looking for one or two young guys to come in and step up and make a contribution. He was one of those guys. Quite liked him. We'll see where he fits in the mix, if they've got three other receivers who are probably rated higher. But maybe preseason will be time for him to put on a show. And finally, they're looking at the pass rush. Who's going to step up with both Suggs and Dumerville on the box? They've got, I'm getting some names tonight, I'm Zadarius Smith, who is going to be the primary pass rusher. I've never heard of him, but hopefully the Ravens fans will be hoping by the end of the night that Carolina certainly heard of him. So we'll see. And again, the final defensive moves here, the secondary, Eric Weddle joined them from San Diego. Has he got anything? I mean, they've got a lot of old players in this team, haven't they? Suggs, Dumerville, Weddle. We'll see. But Weddle might just be a bit of experience they need. I think Matt Elam was a first-round pick they had, and he just hasn't panned out. So Weddle will be there.
Weddle's like the young guy in the Beach Boys.
That's before my time.
The joke is like he's only like 65.
Yeah. okay.
That makes it funnier.
Right. And finally, CJ Mosley is going to be taking on the defensive calls. He'll have the headset on and be listening to the calls coming in. So hopefully he can translate those back out to his defense. And that's a new job for him. So not a lot of positivity there from the Ravens, but rebuilding.
I will mention that ESPN.com's Jameson Hensley is watching the Ravens running back depth. Justin Forsett currently at the top, but they've got Buck Allen, Terrence West, and Kenneth Dixon. And they want to see if any of those guys can maybe challenge Forsett in that role. Running back ever since the Ray Rice incident with Baltimore seems to have been something that they haven't quite solved yet. Still a position that they're looking at. And I would agree, Baltimore does seem like probably the oldest team in the league. And while we're talking about our next game, I'm going to look up to see if that is in fact the case. And that next game is Jacksonville at New York, Greg. The New York Jets, that is.
I hope they are I hope Baltimore is the oldest and the most fragile team. So, anyways, moving on. Our super fans both wrote in for this game, which is amazing. So we got the Jags fan, Ryan, who has the second best voice on the podcast. He is looking forward to seeing how Dante Fowler looks in his first game action of his career. He's the guy who tore his ACL last year on the first day of camp, their first round draft pick. He's a pass rusher. So that will be exciting for all the Jag fans to see what they got last year in the draft. The O-line is going to be the other interesting, mainly the left tackle position. They got Jokel, who's been a vast disappointment as being one of the top picks from the 12 or 13 draft class. And they brought in competition for him this year in Calvin Beecham, the Steelers' former left tackle who missed last year with a torn ACL. Beecham's a solid player, and I expect him to win the job, but it'll be fascinating to watch if this push, this signing has pushed Jokel to reach his potential or not. On the Jets side, Andrew, our Jets super fan, he has two disappointing draft picks that he's looking at. Jason Morrow, who missed all of last year with a lower leg injury. He played well in his 2014, his rookie campaign. And Andrew's thinking that he might be able to develop into the third option in the passing game, so he'll be watching him closely. The general consensus right now for the Jets is that Forte and Powell, the running backs, will be the third option in the passing game. But Andrew's got a good feeling that this tight end could develop into a reliable third option. And then the other guy, the disappointing draft pick, Deed Milner, who is a ninth overall selection at cornerback, can't get on the field, and he keeps playing poorly. So this is pretty much his make-it-or-break-it camp for him. If he doesn't develop, it'll probably be parting with him. So that's my 5-point preview for this game.
Going back to the Baltimore Ravens, I don't have a recent any recent survey on this because these stats are based on the 53-man roster. So based on last year, the Ravens were right in the middle at about an average age of 26.04. The oldest team last year were the Colts at 27.17. The youngest team, the Rams, 24.94.
So if you look at it snap rated, you still get the same basic rankings, except that the Jets are tied as the oldest team.
Interesting.
Which, yeah, I think so. Obvious reason.
All right. Our next game up is the Denver Broncos at Chicago Bears. Chris?
Yeah, well, starting off with the Broncos, our super fans' first concern, and I think it's understandable, is quarterback. You know, they're between Trevor Siemian, Mark Sanchez, or we didn't say that correctly, I apologize. But Lynch, one of these guys has to pan out to at least be decent, right? Like, this is the Super Bowl winning team from last year. Peyton wasn't great, and that's being polite. Can one of them just maintain that and play some ball security? And then tight end is another big one for him. You know, between Virgil Green and Jeff Harmon, which one of them can step up and fill that role that they tried to fill with Vernon Davis last season? Now, moving on to Chicago, the first concern here is their center position. You know, they let Matt Slauson leave, and then from there, they had a their rookie from last year, the second year pro, tore his ACL. So there's a handful of players that they're going to be jogging in there to try to fill in. I think from there with Larson and Whitehair, and then Leonard Floyd at outside linebacker. Looks like they're moving around between outside and inside. Can he find a spot and start to produce right away? It was one of the worst defenses in the NFL last year. He was drafted to fix that.
Moving on now to the Friday matchups. The first one up, Greg, is yours, and that's the Detroit Lions at your Pittsburgh Steelers.
So our Detroit fan did not write in, so I'm going to just give you my take. They had joint practices this week between the Steelers and the Lions, and there were some fantastic things that went on there. But the biggest thing is that the Lions defense is looking better than what they did last year. They apparently have this cornerback Slay, who the only one he had trouble with was Antonio Brown. It's pretty interesting, the Lions, from the Lions' perspective, because this is their real first chance of life without Calvin. So I'm interested just to see what they try to do on offense, not so much with the starters, but, you know, they're installing their basic offense. So I'm really interested to see what the play calling under Jim Bob is going to be like without Calvin out there. Now the flip to the good side here. The Steelers, I'll make this short and sweet for you. Sammy Coates, he's my boyfriend this year. I just am so excited about this guy. He's big, athletic, and he's been making all the plays in camp. I can't wait to see him. We didn't really get to see him last year outside of the preseason because of the depth the Steelers have at wide receiver or had. And I'm just really excited to see him make big plays this year with Landry Jones, who has developed into the undisputed number two quarterback for the Steelers, which is kind of a big deal because of Bruce Gronkowski is a hometown boy. And Jones has apparently just clearly put Bruce on the roster bubble. So the other thing is that Anthony Ciccolo is an outside linebacker who was a late round draft pick last year. He's apparently been dominating the offensive line in camp. So I'm pretty excited to see maybe we have an outside linebacker that can actually get to the quarterback. And they are saying that he has shades of Mike Vrabel, from when the Steelers had him back before he was a Patriots star. So I'm pretty interested to see what he does.
Probably
now,
Steelers.
Well, they did draft him out of Ohio State. So, but anyways, the bigger news that just came across here that actually Andrew, our Jets superfan, was nice enough to message me about was Ladarius Green, the big offseason signing for the Steelers at tight end, has not been kept out of camp like everyone thought because of ankle injuries. It's actually been because of reoccurring headaches from his concussions that kept him out last year. And apparently this is now being questioned if this is going to be a career-ending injury for him. Pro Football Talk has a very good article on it right now that I'm reading, that apparently he may have lied to the Steelers when they signed him about the headaches and whatnot, and he might be out his entire signing bonus if he indeed can't play because of the injury or because of concussions. And now this opens up a huge question mark at tight end. So I have a renewed interest even more over watching the depth of tight end because they really don't have a lot. They lost Heath Miller to retirement last year, and they cut Matt Spaeth, who was a long-term backup tight end, because he failed his physical at the beginning of camp. So it looks like everything's going to be turned over to second-year pro out of Penn State, Jesse James. And they have some other journeyman or cast-off tight ends behind them, including David Johnson, who was a longtime Steeler and last year played with Green in San Diego. He's like an H-back. So this is a huge position of need apparently now. And just from the state of the NFL, there's not enough tight ends to go around. Everyone's looking to add a tight end. So it'll be really interesting to see how this shakes out. But for this game, so the highlights are Sammy Coates, Chickalo, and Jesse James, I think.
You know, I was laughed at during the preseason prediction podcast that we did back in June, previewing the AFC East. You could have Clay Harbor. You know, I think he'd be pretty decent tight end for you there.
We're looking for an upgrade over journeyman, not another journeyman. So,
hey guys, I got a bail, but Chris, I look forward to slacking trash with you later tonight.
Oh, dude, absolutely. If we need to find time to quit picking on Tim and actually talk smack between each other, though.
Oh, we have time to do both.
I love it.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, goodbye, Patrick. Neil, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel terribly sorry for Ladarius Green if that's going to be a career-ending or threatening a career-ending injury. But come on, Greg. This is great. Jesse James, fantastic. This is, well, puntastic over the course of the season. I cannot wait to see if he's a true professional or if he's just a cowboy.
You mean an outlaw, is what you mean.
Also.
Oh, that's well done. All right, Neil, you're up next here with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants.
Okay. Well, the Ron has given us our Dolphins superfans given us it's about a 500 word thesis on the poor old Miami Dolphins.
Just give me the highlights.
And, yeah, the highlights. Well, it's the Miami Dolphins, so they'll be few and far between.
Excellent. On to the New York Giants.
Well, I think, to be fair to Ron, I think all Dolphins fans are going to be looking at Adam Gase. That's the big thing in the Dolphins season. Is Adam Gase going to bring a transformation to the team? And probably more importantly, is he going to transform the skill set and the abilities that Ryan Tannehill has flashed over these first, four seasons in the league? That's going to be the key thing. He had a great effect with Jay Cutler in Chicago. And, gosh, they'll be hoping he does the same for Tannehill. The other thing, the ongoing, and I think I've witnessed about 517 Twitter polls from Ron regarding the running back situation in Miami. And, of course, Arian Foster signs with them. He gets injured. And it looks like Jay Ajayi is going to get another shot and get a start tonight. So that's a big question for the Dolphins. But having said that, every position unit in the team looks like a big question for the Dolphins. But the biggest one, Adam Gase, Ryan Tannehill, is that going to work? And for Ron's sake, I hope so.
All right, what do we have from Sam on the Giants?
Well, the Giants, they're in... issue is about the second target really on the offense. Who's going to produce some offense for them other than their great wide receiver Odell Beckham? And that's really going to be the key thing. Can they get somebody else to take some pressure off Beckham? I believe Cruz, the wide receiver, I think is he back injured again or he's not ready to go? And after 2 years out, it's got to be a real worry for them. So all their hopes, I believe, are pinned on the, I'm going to say, second-round rookie, Sterling Shepard. He is, like all wide receivers this time of the year, he looks fabulous in camp because nobody's hitting him. We'll see how that translates onto the field. But he appears to be the big hope, if you like, in New York. And in terms of the defensive line and the linebackers, that's where traditionally the Giants have had a tremendous strength. But over the last number of years, that's really, really ebbed away. And they're looking for pass rushers to supplement the guy they brought in, Olivier Vernon. And they're hoping the JPP, that the encouraging reports about his performance in camp, is going to also show itself on the field. And linebackers, yeah, they need linebackers. I think we've talked about that before in the pod. And Sam's given us a little heads up there. Just says, watch out for Darian Thompson. This kid's going to be good. I have no idea where Darian Thompson plays. He could be a punter for all I know, but keep an eye out, sign Darian Thompson, and then watch him.
All right, Chris. While all of our listeners are scrambling to find out who Darian Thompson is, tell us a little bit about Minnesota at Cincinnati.
Minnesota, Cincinnati, which might be the most boring game we could watch today of two potential playoff teams. I mean, even our super fans didn't have a whole lot to say about either one of them. Minnesota, you know, one of the big ones for them is going to be wide receiver. Is, you know, they have Diggs, who played very well last year. Can he start to figure out how to beat the press coverage? And Treadwell, I mean, he was my favorite receiver coming into the draft. Is he going to be able to help them out over the middle? You know, there's a lot of talk that he's the next Michael Irvin, which is huge shoes to fill, but it's something that they definitely need. You know, a possession receiver is definitely a big need for them. Going on to the Bengals, you know, another team with wide receiver issues. They lost both Jones and Sanu this offseason. Greg's boyfriend, Tyler Boyd, is he going to be able to step in and fill one of those voids? And I know something that I'm personally watching in this game is they lost Reggie Nelson, who was an absolute ball hawk last year, and they're attempting to replace him with Shane Williams out of Georgia. Sean Williams, I'm sorry. He's been in the league for 3 years now, if I'm not mistaken, and he's got a really big shoes to fill. So those are kind of the hits that I'm looking at.
Darian Thompson, for everyone who's still curious, is a defensive back, might be starting at free safety as a rookie for the Giants. And Greg, it's true. You do, in fact, love Boyd?
Yeah, the Pitt. I mean, he went to Pitt. Come on.
Oh, my God.
He's a superstar. He's a superstar waiting. I hate that he's a Bengal.
The shoe-in for the Hall of Fame.
Was born in Pennsylvania.
Or I could start falling in love with him and put the Pod Vader jinx on him. Either or.
That's
Greg, you're up next here with the Cleveland Browns and the Green Bay Packers.
Well, for the Brownies here, it's all about last year's first round draft picks. Ben, our California Cleveland Browns fan, he is really looking forward to seeing if Cam Irvin can take over the starting center spot for Alex Mack and see how that transition is going to go. Last year, Irvin was a huge disappointment, but it wasn't his first year, so they're not writing him off yet. And Danny Shelton was the actual – he was taken in the first round also, but he was taken a few picks earlier. So he was their first-round pick last year. He's a defensive tackle, nose tackle, and he was very dominant in practice last year against the Browns' offensive line, which was, despite all the joking, a pretty good offensive line. Thing was, on Sundays, it didn't show up. So what type of defensive player is he going to be now? Is he going to be the dominant player they saw in practice against the Pro Bowlers Alex Mack and Joe Thomas? Or is he just going to be another guy that can only practice and not play? So that's a pretty good storyline to watch for the Brownies. For Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play. So everything's going to be turned to Brett Hundley, the UCLA quarterback. Is he going to be the next Mark Brunell, Kurt Warner, Ty Detmer that's being developed? Or is he going to be, you know, the next, Matt Flynn, I think was the guy's name. So that'll be interesting. Brian, our Green Bay fan, is also looking for the cornerback depth to see how that pans out. So there will be good football to watch here in the third quarter, or at least interesting football. None of it's really good, but interesting.
couple of notes from ESPN.com on this game. How much time RG3 plays for the Browns? Pat McManaman says there's a good chance he could play the entire first quarter and maybe even part of the second quarter if the quarter were to end with the Browns in possession of the football. And Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers, mentions that never mind the quarterback position, it's who's going to snap it to them. They could be without their top three centers. So a team that's had injury woes on that offensive line continues to have injury woes, and this time it's right in the middle of the line. So Corey Linsley is definitely out with a hamstring as he remains on the PUP. JC Treader has an illness and didn't practice at all this week, and rookie Jacob Flores dropped out this week with a knee injury. So watching the offensive line for the Packers is definitely something that we always have to do, apparently.
So my Cowboys Super Bowl pick's looking better now. Just saying.
All right. Up next is Neil with the Raiders at the Cardinals, the last game on Friday night.
Yeah, well, Monty's been very, very good and put a great preview up on Slack and on Facebook. He's looking at running back depth to see if rookie D'Andre Washington or Tawain Jones can make an impact and help Murray out in the running game. They also, he's saying that the right tackle position is one of the hottest training camp battles, with Britain's own Menelik Watson coming back from IR, and he's going to have the first crack at the starting job. We'll see if he can beat out Austin Howard and let Austin Howard kick back inside. They're looking also at Jihad Ward, second round pick, and he's going to get the start over Dan Williams on defensive line. That would be quite a surprise, I would think, but that's his hope. And he's really looking to see how impressive this young rookie Ward is going to be. I think he looks like he actually quite likes him. He's not sure how much Mario Edwards Jr. is going to get to play in the preseason, but he's kind of thinking it'll be a very positive sign if he can get one or two series in during August. And really the secondary is entirely revamped. He would be looking to see Carol Joseph, their first round safety, but it doesn't look like he's going to be playing the first couple of games. They're bringing him along very slowly in the hope that he'll be ready for September. So maybe he'll get a few series here and there. Clearly not ready to jump in and start straight away. And he's hoping that with the drafting of defensive backs, Nate Allen is going to spring into life and get back to his best. So a lot of change there in the defensive backfield. They're also hoping, well, Monty's hoping that DJ Hayden is going to win the nickel defensive back spot. But he's thinking maybe Dexter McDonald, who's on a really good camp, might get going there. And in terms of just generally with the Raiders, I think they have been one of the darlings of the off season. And being a Washington fan, I know how depressing that can turn out to be. And I'm just hoping for Monty's sake that that they do kick it on into the regular season and look as good in the regular season as they have done in preseason.
By the way, Monty even included a special teams preview for tonight. So if you're a Raiders fan, you're definitely going to want to check out facebook.com/NFU podcast to read Monty's preview for the Raiders. What do we got coming up here with the Cardinals now?
Yeah, well, the Cardinals, I think we spoke about it in the previous podcast about the right side of the line, where last year's first round pick, DJ Humphreys, will be coming in and will face some, maybe facing Khalil Mack for a few plays, and that might be a welcome to the NFL for him. Dr. Jones is also looking to see if the second round pick, Brandon Williams, who will be starting opposite Patrick Peterson. He's a bit worried because this guy was a running back in college just 1 year ago, and he may well be getting himself exposed. They're trying to get the center position sorted out. Even Bone was the, you know, I think he's a, I'm going to say he's a rookie this past draft, and he's coming in and will be challenging Watford and Shipley. And Dr. Jones is fairly frank that he says Watford and Shipley are horrible. So he's certainly hoping that that Bohm will come in and take that job. I have noticed there's a real dearth of centres in this league at the moment. We also have the same problem in Washington. Wide receiver J.J. Nelson, does he have the ability to run tight routes that that aren't straight up the field? It'll be interesting to see him mature over the course of the season. we're getting some real depth here. We're getting the third tight end spot battle, which, if you're interested, is between Troy Nicholas and Ifeanyi Moma. And, well, I don't know. My money's on Moma, but we'll see.
I just like the fact that you've tried to say every single tough name that's been thrown at you, Neil. Well, I got to give you props.
Go for it. Just go for it, you know. And then finally, there's a third quarterback spot battle, which is with the old Philadelphia man, Matt Barkley, and Jake Coker. And we'll see who wins that one. We'll probably see quite a lot of them tonight if they're fighting that out for the third quarterback spot.
Well, I'll tell you that ESPN.com reporting that Matt Barkley has been told he's going to play a majority of the game by Bruce Arians already. Jake Coker currently is the fourth string guy. So there's pretty much only one spot and there's two guys. So
I'm sure I had it reported that Bruce Arians wasn't very complimentary towards those two players. Like he said something like none of them can do it. So maybe he's trying to fire them up.
All right, we move on to the Saturday slate of games here, and that means, Chris, you're up with the Seattle Seahawks at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, starting with Seattle, Justin, our super fan, is really concerned to see if Frank Clark is able to fill the shoes of Bruce Irvin. Frank Clark's a little bit bigger, but he's an absolute lightning bolt off the line. So that could be the next Seattle superstar that we're hearing about on defense. And then their offensive line issues. There's got a lot of options on the interior. They just signed Jari Evans, who is somebody who I'm very familiar with as a Saints fan, to a minimum deal. Hopefully there's something left in the tank for them so he can lock up their right guard position. Moving on to Kansas City, you have Dee Ford. Is he going to be able to fill in a spot from Justin Houston, who's injured? And then in addition with that, you know, who's going to fill in for Tamba Hali? He's somebody who's coming off the injury as well. So that's two big parts of that defense that needs to be sorted out in the next couple of weeks. And then Marcus Peters, he played great last year as a rookie. Who's going to play opposite of him? We've got Steve Nelson and Philip Gaines that are competing for that starting job. And with the publicity Peters got last year, I'm sorry, they're going to get a lot of work. Teams are going to key up on them. So that's two big spots on defense that Kansas City needs to answer. And defense is their bread and butter. That's how they won a lot of their games last year. Alex Smith is not going to win a lot of shootouts. So those are two big spots.
You know, at ESPN.com on Kansas City, a lot of the focus is going to be, and probably rightfully so, on Nick Foles, who just recently signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll see what Foles can do in Andy Reid's offense in Kansas City.
Chris, they're loaded with quarterbacks. Don't they have like five quarterbacks? Foles, Smith, Bray, Murray. What do you see ending up there in terms of who's going to be the three guys in the roster?
Well, last year, I think they kept four, didn't they? And Andy Reid has no problem creating a spot for a quarterback. And, you know, he loves to trade away his backups. He's kind of a backup quarterback farm up there. So I don't think there's really it's a three-headed race there. Now, if there has to be, obviously Foles seems like the easy answer. Foles and Smith has a locked-in spot. So Bray and Murray, I really liked Murray coming out of college. I guess I'd give the nod to him, but Tyler Bray was a talented kid, so don't just assume they have to cut one of them.
Murray's great on The Bachelor, and if you have four quarterbacks, you have none, so.
Did you really just cite The Bachelor?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, relevant.
The new Mel Kiper.
I guess so.
Up next is Greg. Any bachelors on the Indianapolis Colts and Buffalo Bills?
There probably should be plenty. But so this is an interesting game because the groups they highlighted in this game might be the worst position groups in all of football. Dan, our Colts fan, he's going to be watching his offensive line, which, you know, they're on the verge of rooting Andrew Luck if they don't improve. And then he's also going to watch the other running backs not named Frank Gore to see if there's anything that resembles a quality running back there. Frank Gore, I think, is probably as old as Neil. So they need to start thinking about putting him out the pasture a little bit. For Buffalo, this is just ugly. I can't believe these names. The second wide receiver is what they're battling over right now. The wide receiver depth is officially what Rob, our Bills superfan, is looking at. The names are Goodwin, Salas, Greg Salas, and Greg Little. I mean, those are just awful names. That has to be a group that none of them are going to make the roster. They're going to bring in new guys when, you know, the Eli Rogers of the world get cut.
Well, and I think the biggest news out of Buffalo this week is the Reggie Ragland tearing his ACL. He's going to miss the entire season. Some big injury developments there in Buffalo on a defense that was supposed to be better, on a team with high expectations, and a team that wants to be competing. By the way, if something happens here, it is bright and sunny outside. However, I hear thunder like it is right next door to me. So I've got some crazy weather happening here in Connecticut today.
That's how you know it's preseason football.
Out of curiosity, going to the Bills wide receivers, did you say Greg Little and Greg Silas?
Yes. They are apparently fighting for like the second and third wide receiver spots.
Weren't they both cut by Cleveland in recent years? A team who just spent like 7 draft picks on wide receivers?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Greg Little, yes, I think that's right.
That's not good at all.
that's just clearly
too many Gregs.
Hey, speaking of not good, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Los Angeles Rams of St. Louis. Neil?
Yeah, this is although I hate to say it with it being the Cowboys, this is probably the game of the week, isn't it? It's the one that
everybody wants to see. I will say it's on ESPN Saturday evening at 8 p.m. And it is the first time football, or at least professional football, has been played in Los Angeles in quite some time. This is at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum.
Yep, this is at the LA Coliseum. Okay, good. This is a massive game. I guess a massive game for the NFL more than anything, with football back in LA. And one of the more popular teams in the country, in the Cowboys. Oh God, I'm feeling sick saying that. But they are the Rams. It's all about one guy, isn't it? It's about at what point does Jared Goff come in and beat out Case Keenum? I think Jared, our Rams super fan, he's saying just that. Number one issue or number one thing to watch for is Jared Goff. It's all about Jared Goff. He is the key to the franchise over the next few years. And if he doesn't succeed, it's going to be back to square one. And if he does succeed, then it just means more years of Jeff Fisher. And we all want that. So,
yes.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So we'll
ESPN,
see. Hopefully,
ESPN.com, I'll just mention ESPN.com, says Case Keenum will start, although Jared Goff did take snaps with the first team on Tuesday, the first time he took snaps with the first team. Jeff Fisher said, quote, read whatever you want. We'll start Goff when he's ready to play. It's all about the process. It's about being patient. And I guess we learned today that the game is 4 quarters long.
Well, we know the preseason is 4 weeks long, and that patience will all of a sudden come to an abrupt halt on week one of the regular season, when I can guarantee you, injury aside, Goff will be starting. Anyway, back to Jared. Jared, he's just saying what we all want to see in our quarterback. He wants to see how Goff reads defenses, runs the huddle, gets lined up under center. Some of the things he didn't do in college, and he really looked forward to seeing that. Some of the other issues that he's looking for, certainly the battle for the free safety position. They lost, I think it was Rodney McLeod, and he went to Philadelphia. And he's left a void there, and there'll be a question of can Maurice Alexander, the unknown fourth-round pick from 2014, whether he can step up and play alongside TJ McDonald. But that's an interesting one. He thinks Mark Barron will shift back and play a bit more at the safety position. And he's also got LaMarcus Joyner, who might see some time at safety too. But I think Maurice Alexander appears to be the player he wants to be starting at free safety, so fingers crossed for that. And we do have these rookie receivers who he wants to see. He wants to see Tyler Higbee and the fabulously named Farrell Cooper, who's that guy. He's born to be a football player, isn't he? I mean, sometimes you hear a name and you think, yeah, definite Pro Bowl player. And I'm telling you, Farrell Cooper, doesn't matter. He's going to be starting in this league. That's a great name. Anyway, he's looking forward to seeing him. And that will be good for golf because they're rather short of weapons. Apart from Tevon Austin, who they hope will continue to develop, although he's been a bit in and out, hasn't he, in the team really. The Rams run a lot of two tight end sets, so if Higbee can master, Higbee must be a tight end. There we go. Higbee is going to be mastering the blocking, and you'll see a lot of snaps if he does do that. They lost a tight end, didn't they? Was it Cook they lost? So maybe Higbee will be coming to replace Cook. Anyway, Higbee's been called Baby Gronk. So, not sure. It says high praise here, but I'm not sure, Jared, if that's high praise or not. And finally, in the offensive line, they are, again, I mean, they've spent so many high draft picks in the offensive line, and they're looking forward to just another season of improvement with all those young guys, and hopefully that will gel them into a decent offensive line, because I would guess they'd want that to protect a young rookie star quarterback.
Our last game on Saturday is the San Diego Chargers at the Tennessee Titans.
You want me to say anything about the Cowboys?
Do we care about the Cowboys?
No, not really. Move on.
I agreed with you right from the beginning. We could have ended on the fact that the only thing to watch in that game really is going to be Jared Goff. I don't think there's any other storyline really to watch. The other one that might have had a little intrigue would be the Cowboys running back situation, but the anointed one, Ezekiel Elliott, will not be playing.
I disagree, Jay. I mean, Zach Prescott has been basically anointed the number two there in Dallas. I think that's going to be fascinating just because he was on the radar for a lot of teams to be a lot higher until he got a DUI during the draft process. And maybe they found something there. Maybe they didn't. I mean, did they make a huge mistake not bringing another backup quarterback? That's a storyline that I'm interested in.
That's a good point.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, do we know if Dez Bryant's playing at all?
I hope not.
I would guess even if he was playing, it would be for a very short period of time. They're not going to leave their starters out there for very long.
Right. I'm just curious to see how he's coming back from that foot injury from last year.
Yeah.
I saw something interesting on that, that all the guys with the foot injuries, that had the foot injuries last year are all ahead of Jordy Nelson, who had the ACL tear. So he's apparently doing better than Jordy Nelson, if that means anything.
Well, then there you have it. All right. Can we move on now to the final game of Saturday, which is the San Diego Chargers at Tennessee Titans? This would be yours, Chris.
Sir, the absolute barn burner that is the Titans versus the Chargers. Chargers fan would like to watch the battle for the number two spot at wide receiver. They did just sign James Jones, but Tyrell Williams has been showing a lot of promise in camp. He's been running with the ones, so that'll be a position battle to watch. And then the linebacker position is interesting. These are two guys that I was very high on during our big board talks and our draft prep. But Joshua Perry and Jatavius Brown, both from Ohio. You've got one from OSU and then one from Akron, if I remember correctly. These guys couldn't be more different as far as players. Perry is a very stout, run-stuffing middle linebacker. Brown weighs in at, I think, 220. He's a very fast, athletic, kind of looks like a strong safety playing linebacker. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch. Then going over to Tennessee, you know, Marcus Mariota, year two, seeing what kind of growth he has. Darrell Green, Beckham, same thing. Can these two finally get on the same page? Beckham, for those of you that follow high school recruiting like I do into college, he's been nothing but promise. We've never seen anything really show up on the field. Now it's time for us to start to see that. And then Murray, you know, DeMarco Murray was brought in this year to be the number one running back. Rushed for a ton of yards in Dallas, did nothing in Philadelphia. Who is he? Are we going to get the Murray from Dallas, or did we kind of see who he was last year? So that's going to be the big battles for Tennessee, I think.
And more news out of the Chargers, Stevie Johnson gone for the year. So that wide receiver position, even more important to watch for the San Diego Chargers. All right. We have one last game. It is Sunday night. Speaking of barn burners, we have the Houston Texans at the San Francisco 49ers. Greg, you have the honors.
All right. James, our Singapore super fan.
Our Singapore super fan. Oh, boy.
He's watching his tight end depth. Apparently, there's a battle going on between CJ for Wizowitz or something and Ryan Griffin. They're battling for the starting tight end spot. So, Neil, do you know how to pronounce that name?
DJ. Sorry, Greg, I wasn't listening to you. What do you think?
Per usual. So, anyways, moving on. He's also interested in this Tyler Irvin, who is the backup running back behind Lamar Miller. So that could be a pretty important guy down the road. And now with J.J. Watt's injury and the fact that the Texans went exclusively on offense during the draft, James is really looking for the D-line to create pressure in this game and show some depth. So that'll be interesting to watch. Now it's, you know, the first overall pick team is coming up here with the 49ers. This is going to be interesting because they got the QB battle going on with Kaepernick and the Real American and what Chip Kelly can do with them. I mean, this is one of these teams, this is going to really validate if Chip Kelly 3 years ago was the genius that he claims he was. And he did have two 10-win seasons on his resume before his third season getting fired. So I am interested to see what he can do with this team. Can he get guys to buy in? And I'm not sure that'll be relevant here this week, but it's something to watch throughout the preseason. And I guess the only thing to really say about them is I hope the Real American wins this battle for QB.
The Real American being Blaine Gabbert, for those who don't know. All right. So, again, most of our previews for the preseason are on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. You can check out your favorite team. If your favorite team isn't there, write one of your own and put it on our Facebook page. We may repost it, and then we may invite you to be the super fan for that team. You never know what will happen. We work crazy like that. You can always contact us via email, nextfanup@gmail.com, and you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can go on iTunes when you download this show, subscribe to us, leave us a review, and of course, share our show. Please tell your friends, tell your family. If you go and date your girlfriend, go tell your girlfriend's dad about our show and how much he's really going to love it. Trust me, it will get you into the family. I can't guarantee that, but I'll make that guarantee anyway. Was there anything? Oh, one last thing I wanted to mention, because I did mention it at the beginning of the show, the Hall of Fame game. You know, I'd even spoken with our guest from Stadiums USA about the improvements the Hall of Fame was doing to their stadium and to their overall facility. And of course, the Hall of Fame game gets canceled this past Sunday night. Neil, Chris, Greg, how many of you were disappointed there was no football this past Sunday evening?
I was really disappointed. For a couple of reasons. I'm from Ohio. I really enjoy the Hall of Fame game. It's not real football, and I can appreciate that. but it's an awesome thing if you go to. It's inexpensive. There's a very good chance that you're sitting with the player's family, which is always fun. And, you know, it's the sign of the new season. You know, that it's the first game, no matter how bad it is, you get to watch. So I was really, really upset Thursday. And I rushed home for nothing. It was terrible.
See, I had a interest. I heard someone say, why didn't they just, instead of having a game, just have a skills competition between, you know, some of the quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck as an impromptu thing. And I think they should start thinking about that moving forward and replace this stupid fifth preseason game. I think that'd be amazing to see, like, Joe Montana and Brett Favre trying to duel it out like they did in the 90s with a quarterback competition where they're trying to throw the ball the farthest inside a box and hit the moving things. I mean, that'd be so much better than this stupid game. So that's my regret. And that only became when I heard someone like Andrew Brand or somebody bring that up. I think that'd be awesome.
I couldn't agree more with what Greg just said there. I think you're right, as Andrew Brand was talking about today. It's the funny thing you've got going over there. This was a great opportunity for the NFL to say, right, it's been a bit of a mess up here, you know. Let's do something different. Let's try and get something out of this. Give the fans something. And if not, give the fans the money back. But I don't think they're going to get that either. It's a real wasted opportunity to do a real, really great PR job for the NFL. Yeah, get Montana out there. Get them out there. Let them sit down and have a conversation. Maybe at a panel and let the fans ask questions. Just great opportunity wasted.
Well, it was handled very poorly, and it's disappointing for the fans because there were a lot of people that traveled from Green Bay, you know, with Brett Favre being inducted. They, as far as I'm concerned, the players shouldn't have been allowed to leave the field until every autograph was signed. There needed to be something for these fans, and a $20 refund's not enough. And then I thought it was a joke at first, but they jogged out Lee Greenwood for a concert. Those people suffered enough. They shouldn't have to sit through a Lee Greenwood concert too. No, it's very disappointing on how things were handled on Thursday.
Well, I will tell you that according to Pro Football Talk, a class action suit has been filed over the Hall of Fame non-game. So there's still going that. Let's see if that goes all the way to the Supreme Court. I don't think it will need to go that far because I think the justice in America will reign supreme there. But you're right. First of all, how in this day and age is the wrong paint being used on a football field? That just to me seems outrageously stupid. How that can even happen blows my mind. And then and you're right, everything was mishandled, including, and I hate to keep pounding on this guy, but I'm going to, Commissioner Goodell was apparently unavailable for comment when this was happening because he was in the air. What is the commissioner of the National Football League not doing at this game? That's what I want to know.
Jay, he does own all the air. So as you will well know, being a Patriots fan, so he's probably just looking after his air.
That was well done, Neil. That was well done. To me,
but you're right, Jay. You're absolutely right.
To me, this was a PR nightmare for the NFL. It's going to remain a PR nightmare for them for quite some time. We will just keep our eyes and watch and see if the fan will ultimately win out here or if good old corporate NFL suits will get their way again.
What's so annoying, Jay, is that this multi-billion dollar organization, company, the NFL, that they couldn't just do what Greg just said, you know, and just turn that around and make it the greatest Hall of Fame weekend of all time. So simple, so easy, and yet who's running that place, you know? Jeez.
Well, I think history is going to show us what's going to happen here. You know, this is Tom Benson Field. You know, it's Tom Benson Stadium now is what they changed the name to. He donated the turf from the old Superdome, or the old Superdome turf to it. He gave him $11 million for this. So history tells us anything. Goodell's going to suspend Sean Payton for this. We're going to lose him for 16 more games and probably two first round picks. So Fieldgate, Here we are, gentlemen. 2016.
Does no one think it's goofy that they had to donate a field? I mean, my freaking local high school has a brand new field, you know, that they paid for out of tax dollars that, you know, probably cost, you know, $20,000, $40,000. But the NFL couldn't splurge to put a brand new turf down. Like, come on.
I think it's the only way the Saints could get a Hall of Famer in there. $11 million shows up, and then suddenly Willie Rofe's good enough to be in the Hall of Fame.
By the way, remember, this is not the NFL Hall of Fame. It is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it is not directly related to the NFL, as I believe one of the NFL officials took responsibility for overall responsibility for the debacle, as this was a third party site for the NFL. So just another thing to note that to maybe give them a little bit more leeway, but I'm not going to. They do not get a pass. They will never ever get a pass ever again.
If you believe that, please tweet me your phone number, and I guess I'm going to sell you. If you believe that they're not the pro, it's not the NFL Hall of Fame. I mean, that's, yeah, come on.
All right. On that note, we want to hear from you. At NFU Podcast is our Twitter. NextFanUp@gmail.com. And go ahead and check out all those preseason predictions that we've made on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Tell a friend, share the show. And with that, we leave you with Jeff Fisher and those immortal words. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.